It is always a pleasure to spend time with a friend of mine and a friend of yours of so many years, the legendary Jordan Maxwell. Jordan has spent well over half a century trying to bring the truth of the occult side of contemporary and ancient history, that means the hidden side, to all of you who are interested enough to avail yourself of Jordan's wonderful materials. Welcome back, JM. How are you?
Well, thank you. Jeff, I'm still here.
That's my line.
I'm happy to be with you. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
So,
how are you?
It's
well,
a real
I'm still
wonder.
Here.
It's a real wonder we're still here. But maybe the spirit has something in mind.
The spirit, you know, the other side of that coin is the controllers know they have time on their side. They're not in any hurry. They'll just wait till this generation fades away and the next generation, this youngest generation, is absolutely frightening. They are. And not, now, there are exceptions, folks, and for you families out there who are doing a good job with your kids, bless you, all of you. But the general majority, and I don't want to call them sheep anymore because they're far more dangerous than sheep because they have some evil in them that has been imbued by the mass media, and they are capable of damn near anything. Lying now is absolutely expected. There is no morality. And if you're trying to talk to many of these young people about morality and values and integrity, not only do they laugh at you, but they don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You're right. You're right. They just they stare at you with this glaze in their eyes as if, you know, what in the world are you? What do those words mean? They have
right.
No
restraint,
idea what you're
responsibility,
about.
Accountability. Ha ha. Boy,
you know, what
are you
is
dumb.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
So, and you're right. That's the way the masters have always operated. As they look at the older people, leave them alone. They're going to be gone soon. Get the children, get the kids and get them into school, make them go to our schools, and we will decide what it is they will learn and how they will learn and what they will read and what they can read. And by the time the parents figure out what's going on, they'll be in an old folks home and they'll be gone soon. And so I've heard that, you know, many years ago. People would write about that. The communists were talking about that too, how, you know, if you're not gonna change the old people, but it's all right. Get the children in school. The old ones will be gone soon enough. Who the hell cares? They'll be gone. And then, you know, like the Jesuits say, give me a child till he's 7 years old, and he's mine forever. So right. They know that they can mold right. The child's mind right in front of the parent. The parent has no idea what's going on. And one day you wake up and it's too late. Your kid's on drugs, or he's a criminal, or whatever, and it's just too late.
You know what's amazing, Jordan, is that too late comes and goes at a very early age now, and the parents are oblivious to it. The children are taken by the media. Even if the parents are ever vigilant at home, they go over to their friend's house and at 5 and 6, and so they're looking at porn. And once you put those images in the mind of a child, childhood is gone forever. It's gone.
Oh, absolutely. No
and
doubt about it.
That's the end of it. And it's a tragedy because the most golden time of life, as this species can experience it, of course, is childhood.
Childhood.
And, yeah. I mean, you look at the quotes here. Vladimir Lenin, all right, you alluded to one of them earlier. This is a little different version of it, but he said, give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted. And he's right.
Yep. Unfortunately, he is right. That's true.
Yeah.
And because children depend on the adults to teach them. You know?
Yes, of course. They looked at it's just like they're taught to depend on doctors to heal them. They're disempowered every step of the way. They're not supposed to think empowerment or individual achievement or the fact that they can really change their destiny much. It's quite a remarkable paradigm. The goal of socialism is communism. There's another one from Lenin. Nothing could be more correct.
Well, of course. Of course. I mean, socialism is the basis for communism. You're not going to have communism unless you get socialism first. And once you get the people understanding and going, you know, and being in compliance, with the whole socialist idea that there's nobody of any importance anywhere in the world. It's only the state is important. That's what Lenin said. That's what communism teaches. Only the government and the collective is important. Nobody else, no individual. We're not looking for the uncommon man, you know, the great inventor and the great musician and all the individuals, the Nikolai Teslas and Royal Rife and Albert Einstein. Well, hell with all that. We don't need all that. All you need is people to work for, you know, create wealth for the masters. And so they promote the idea of everybody being the same. We all look the same. We all dress the same. We go to the same movies. And basically, we're all the same. There's nobody better than anyone else. Nobody's smarter than anyone else. And like George Carlin said, to make sure that works, we just keep dumbing down the kids until one day we're all dumb together. And nobody knows from crap about nothing. And then you've got a great workforce. And they're not going to argue or badmouth you or do anything because they don't know how to do anything. All they know is they just depend on you for their job and do their job and go home, and that's all they know. And then you, give them entertainment and alcohol on every corner.
When we were kids, we all wanted to be cool, okay? We all wanted to be in. But the peer pressure we were under then is nothing to what these kids now literally grow up to expect and interact with. We had another little girl last week who committed suicide from online bullying. This happens all too often. Mm-hmm. The lust that the young people are literally programmed to have toward fitting in is utterly frightening. Orwell would get it in a second. They want to be in so badly that uniqueness is a curse. They don't want to be different. They're different with their piercings, their tattoos, but it's all crap. It's eyewash.
Yep. I mean, that's exactly the problem, is that people think that they're being different by spiked hairs and doing all the lunacy that kids will do to stand out and be different. But ultimately, as the intellectual, spiritual part of the human that divides him from his fellow man. And so, you know, it was the Nikolai Teslas and the Albert Einsteins, the people who use their mind to create and to lead the way for the human race to follow. But nobody's doing that today. We don't need that. We got Obama and we got George Bush Jr. And so we don't need any great people. Like I said, the uncommon
people. No, there. This is all a cult. I'd say culture, but it's more of a cult of celebrity now. If you've got media time, if you're exposed on the media somehow to the masses, you have it. You're a god. You're a demigod. And that's what people yearn for. They want that exposure. They'll do it. That's why, you see, the people who created Facebook and MySpace and the other social media knew that this yearning for celebrity was now being put into the hands of the masses.
Of course. That's exactly what it is. Now you can be somebody. And while you're being somebody on Facebook, never realizing the people who put this together and people who are organizing these social medias all work for government, CIA, NSA, USIA, all these secret organizations for intelligence in America. That's what's behind all of this stuff. And now they know what you look like. They know who your friends are. They have your phone numbers and your address. They know how you think. And they know the people who think like you.
They don't even have to do any work because the idiots put it up on Facebook.
I know. That's what I'm saying. And they know who your friends are, too. Yeah. They got pictures of them. So it's all quite a story, and I don't know where it's all going to go. Between you and I, my question is, whoever it is, and this is just a philosophical question, but whoever it is that's actually gave us, life, whoever it is that created us, what are the powers in heaven thinking and looking at what's going on the earth? I mean, do we have anything coming to help and to protect the human family.
I don't see it. No, the common denominator is plummeting. This is going to go down all the way out into this vortex, and eventually it'll come out the other side. Where that is, I don't know. The pendulum historically swings, but we aren't even close to being at the bottom yet. The only thing we're lacking is, and we've had snuff films for years and years, but the only thing we're lacking is truly the Roman arena. And that would not surprise me at all if they were paying these people to go, reality TV, pay somebody $1 million to fight to the death. They do it.
Well, I mean, what is this cage fighting and martial arts?
That's the same. It's right there. It's right there. And that's another thing. Sports and sports teams basically are urban or regional armies. This is warfare. Our army is going to fight your army. It's called a football game or a basketball game.
Right.
We're going to fight you, and we're going to kick your butt. Okay? It's all about sanitizing war combat in such a way that it is acceptable as a sports venue. I mean, this is really amazing to watch. It just is.
Well, I know. Yeah, of course it is. And then when hunters go out looking out to kill deer or whatever, they call that big game hunting.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
They're going out to hunt game.
Right. All right.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a game.
Yeah, it is a game.
Well,
all right,
let the games begin.
The games have begun. Jordan and I will be right back in just a couple minutes. Okay, back with Jordan. You know, it's really fascinating, Jordan. I don't know when you first read Edgar Cayce or about Edgar Cayce. Probably the Jess Stern book, Edgar Cayce, The Sleeping Prophet. That was the one I grabbed.
Yeah.
And the readings that he gave, which dealt with Atlantis, which of course came as a complete surprise to him, that there was an ancient civilization here. And it had to do with understanding the message from the readings, and what Cayce was saying in his unconscious state is that the Atlanteans went too far when they began to mix man and beast. It's called genetic manipulation. That's exactly what he said. That was the final straw that took them down when they began to play God. And can you even imagine, ladies and gentlemen, what they are doing behind closed doors with unlimited funds, messing with genetics and creating new animals? Think about chupacabras. They either came from AET or they were something that was created here and got away or was released. There are a lot of things like this going on. They're doing head transplants. They've been doing that for a long time. You don't hear about it, though. But anyway, the point is, it's this definite parallel with Atlantis, according to Cayce.
And there's no doubt in my mind that that's what's going on today. And I've heard stories from people, doctors and professional people in South America, tell me about things that have been found in the temples from, probably 1,000 years ago or more of half animal, half human figures and figurines.
Oh, exactly. They weren't necessarily mythical. I think some of them were, in fact, evidence of real things that went on way back. We know that the technology to build the monuments in Egypt was far in advance of anything that the Egyptian government or the Antiquities Bureau will admit to.
Oh, heavens, yes. And I've been to Egypt 3 times. I've been through the pyramid, and especially the Great Pyramid of Giza. It's just ludicrous on the face of it to imply that humans built that. I mean, it is quite literally foolish in polite company to talk about humans building that pyramid.
Right.
Because when you go inside the thing and see those stones which are used, and some of them, I'm just guessing because it's been years since I've been there, but maybe 20, 25 feet long, 8 foot square, 12 to 14, 12 to 1,300 tons a piece. and they're all up and down the Grand Gallery and across the ceiling, 12 to 1,400 tons apiece. And they're all up and down the Grand Gallery.
Bunch of guys with block and tackle lifted them
up. Yeah, of course, that's all it was. You know, just got a bunch of slaves in there with a whip.
Bronze Age chisels and mallets.
Incredible. And probably that's another thing. The one thing that really shocked me when I was in Egypt is to see in the temples, everywhere you go, the stones in the temples are flawlessly true, squared, and the surface is like a mirror surface. You're looking at these stones, and you can see your reflection like in a mirror because it's absolutely flawlessly true. And smooth as silk, you run your hand over it, and it's like a mirror. You're running your hand over a pane of glass. It's so flawlessly true. And so you can rub it clean and then the dust off, and you can see your face in it. That's how mirror surface these stones are. You don't get that with a chisel. You know, and I don't know how you do it, but you don't get it with a chisel and a bunch of slaves out there banging away on chisels. And so, you know, anyone who's really studied the pyramid, and especially the Great Pyramid, knows that there's a big story here that's never been told. And then when you find out Michael Cremo's work and others like him showing that there's been human artifacts or at least intelligent created artifacts on the earth, down inside the earth in strata, which is 3.5 billion years old, and we're finding handmade artifacts, 3.5 billion year old strata. What does that tell you about
the geology then is unquestionably that old, and what I've seen are those little, you mentioned the little round spheres.
Yeah,
we've talked about these.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a perfectly carved well, it's like an equator, Tropic of Cancer, Tropic of Capricorn. It's like a replication of a sphere, a planet, with those three meridians put on it. It's amazing. Now, they've also found in formations of coal, for example, you may remember this. I've forgotten how old it is. I think it was bituminous coal. They were mining, cracked one open, a piece, and inside was a perfect gold bracelet with linked little circles of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yeah. And they were, and if I recall, it was said that the little links of gold was so small, so tiny, mm-hmm. and they were flawlessly done, mm-hmm. but they're tiny. You have to really stare at them with a magnifying glass to see how beautifully they were woven together in this chain. But they were tiny, extremely small. And have you seen that pictures of you in Russia that they found in the I'm not sure where it was in Russia, but they found these electrical gold looks like gold or copper electrical units thousands of feet down. They found an incredible.
I don't know if I have. It sounds familiar, but if you have them,
I'll email you the pictures.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to email you the pictures. It's just a mind trip.
The history of this planet is so amazing. What's amazing is how easily it is all kept hidden. They just deny it. Hide it and deny. That's it. Doesn't exist.
Just move on. It has nothing to do with anything important. Yeah. And but the whole subject, you can go on the web. Anybody can go on the web. The whole subject is called Out of Place Artifacts. Just type that in Google and image. Go to image and then type in Out of Place Artifacts. And look at the thousands of strange things that have been found under the earth and incredible stuff. You know, thousands of feet down in the ground, you're finding handmade artifacts from civilizations that we don't even know even existed.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
all right. We got to take a break. That's one of the real fun things about this business. We do get to look at it thanks to people like Michael Cremo, who have done the research and what they found in California, in gold mines. Remarkable things, just in digging into a hill, what they found. And it's all there. And, you know, it amuses me when people say, well, look at this civilization. Even if people were to die, it would be here in a million years. Wrong. Totally wrong. Nature yep. reclaims. The planet recycles things. It would just go away.
It always has. Always yeah. has.
Okay, hang on a second. Back with all of you great folks and our friend Jordan and just a couple. Okay, and we're back talking to Jordan Maxwell. And for those of you in Europe who may not know about Jordan, by all means, look him up, Jordan Maxwell. Anywhere we can point people now to find some of your materials, Jordan, that's a safe place to go?
Well,
not yet.
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. Not
all right,
yet.
So we'd urge all of you for things, reasons that we don't want to get into right now, to not buy any Jordan Maxwell material quite yet. We'll tell you when and we'll tell you where. And how, when that's available. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the one thing that really bothers me, we talked earlier about the destruction of childhood. The most heinous of crimes in my book is that. We have what's going on now in the media, the grotesque sexualization of young people, especially young girls. Now, this, of course, plays into the normalization of pedophilia, which is going on mm-hmm. in the liberal media, on television, everywhere you look, it's just called another lifestyle. They're actually presenting pedophilia as okay. The Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts are allowing gay members to come in. You can't tell me this is not all part and parcel of a program.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And
I said that rhetorically because you would never tell me that. But.
No, right. And besides, we would never know that because we're so stupid we're not supposed to know that. But overwhelming and obvious, there is an overshadowing of civilization by some sort of a dark power that means to destroy anything human, any vestige of human integrity or humanity, to destroy it and create instead a whole new kind of civilization. Thank God, with computers and
sure.
and all that kind of stuff, to computerize the human
yeah.
brain and to actually take human tissue and put it into the computers that they're talking about. They actually are already doing that.
Jordan, as well as anyone, probably better than most anyone, that when they don't talk about things in the media, that's where the big effort is being made now. And I can
that's
easily
right.
point to nanotechnology, AI, artificial intelligence, or in the case of Obama, where his kids came from, artificial insemination. But that's another story. There's a little humor there. AI is big. Nano is huge. No one's talking about it.
Nope.
Nobody.
Remember, the comedy, the sitcoms with Jonathan Winters was on with the other comedian, and they were going around. They were aliens, and they were communicating with each other in this sitcom by seeing nano. Everything was nano this, nano that.
Oh, you mean the Robin Williams program?
Yeah, the Robin Williams.
Mork and Mindy, I think it was
Mork
called.
Mork and Mindy, exactly, yeah. And
Jonathan Winters, excuse me, but I got to say something about Johnny Winters. What a brilliant man. Original. Just
no
incredible.
Doubt about it. No doubt about it.
And yeah.
I okay. saw an interview with him that he did a few years ago in his home, and he was talking about how today he wouldn't even fit. He said, I don't even know how to fit into modern-day society. I don't relate to it. I don't understand it. And he said, and I got these little teeny boppers that I'm supposed to be doing a show. I got a production company wants me to do something on a show, and I get a little teeny bopper calling me and asking me, well, who are you and what do you do? And I'll have to decide, and we'll have to decide if we can use you or not. And he says, then I'm just amazed. They don't even know who I am. I got some little teeny bopper up here going to decide who, if I'm going to get a job or not. As
punk,
if I care.
Punk producers, punk just all, it's all projection of this new age. They have, I had the great fortune to have spoken to him just privately on a couple of occasions. One of them, he did discuss exactly that, and he said he would not go near it. He told me a story about being signed to be in a sitcom, and he went down, and I think it was before production began, but he said this, and he was a bitter man. Bitter not in the sense that he felt victimized, but bitter because of what this culture has become and what the entertainment industry has become. Now, he said that this director tried to tell him what to do and how to deliver his lines. And he was outraged to his core. He said, he told the guy, blank you, you SOB, and he walked. He said, I'll never go back. And that was it.
Yep, well, that's what I'm talking about. And, a classic example from my end was when I was in Egypt, National Geographic called me a couple of weeks before I went to Egypt, and they said, we hear that you're going to be going to Egypt. And I said, yes. And they said, well, we're going to send, because of that, we're going to send some people there from National Geographic that we want to tape you and videotape for a possible, you know, parts of a program on Egypt, and we'd like to videotape you in Egypt.
Right.
So I told them, okay, I don't care, that's fine. And so when we got there, they were there, but the producer was this girl, I don't know, 19 years old, 18, 19, 20, something like that. And one of the other speakers, younger guy, she decided that she was going to concentrate on him. And so every morning she was having breakfast with him, every afternoon having lunch with him, and that kind of thing. And so I just thought it was interesting. The entire trip, she never even said good morning to me, period.
Really?
Good morning.
Perfect
nothing.
Example, a classless, tactless boor of lowlife. Yeah.
I would have thought she'd at least say hello and good morning or something at breakfast, but nothing. She was sitting over there talking with one of the younger guys who was a speaker. And the last day, about when we were leaving that afternoon, the last day she came over and she said, and who are you? And I said, what does it matter? No. And so I said, what does it matter?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It doesn't matter who I am. And so she wanted. She said, "Oh, well, you're Jordan Maxwell." I said, "Yes." She said, "Oh, well, I'd like to interview you for a few minutes before we leave." And I told her, "Dear, don't. You must be out of your mind. I have nothing to say to you. Just go back home, you've got plenty of footage with your boyfriend, so you don't need to talk."
Oh,
to
you
me.
Weren't cool enough, Jordan. That's
nope,
all.
Nope.
Just
nope.
Not cool.
Nope. Just,
all right. Gee. Yeah, it's amazing. Well, we are all thankful, those of us who remember how it was, even 20, 25 years ago.
You're right.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone. All right, back in a minute. Okay, and we're back with Jordan. You know, it's really interesting. The internet has done a lot of really good things. Of course, it has done a lot of things that are beyond bad. One of them is the promulgation and the incredible dispersal of porn. And our young people, of course, are that's how they take it down. One of the first and prime directives of culture destruction is to destroy the morality, the moral fabric of it. And right. Porn does that better than anything. It's what it's all about. Everything is sex now. Little girls, you folks understand what's happening. They are being run right into the meat grinder of sexualization. They don't have a chance. They really don't know what's going on, and they never will figure it out. And they're 5 and 6 years old, 4 years old. And I'll tell you right now, they didn't buy those clothes. They didn't buy that makeup. Their parents did. So who's accountable here, right?
You're right. I mean, what can you say? It's right there for you to see what's happening, but... You know, there's a couple of other things I wanted to throw in here. I came across back in the late 60s a two-volume set called Anacalypsis. That's A-N-A-C-A-L-Y-P-S-I-S, Anacalypsis by Godfrey Higgins. Last name, H-I-G-G-I-N-S, Godfrey Higgins. It's a two-volume set, massive set. It'll take you a lifetime to go through those two volumes. And in Anacalypsis, he traces back all of the religions of the world and all the gods and where they came from and makes all the connections with the modern-day gods and modern-day theologies and religions and just traces back into ancient history everything. And it's an enormous two-volume set. But in that Anacalypsis, he talks about quite a bit about how the Hebrew religion can be traced back to the Hindu, and the I found that to be fascinating. But that was back in the mid to late 60s, and since then I have been able to find dozens of volumes, research volumes on the subject of tracing Christianity, Islam, and Judaism all back to the Hindu and to the ancient and prehistoric religions of the modern day world. And it's fascinating. There's another book out there you really want to get. It's called Jesus and Moses Are Buried in India. The subtitle is Birthplace of Abraham and the Hebrews. And basically what this book is, Jesus and Moses Are Buried in India, and Anacalypsis, and about 12 more volumes like them, research volumes, basically are saying that the very foundation for what we call Christianity, Judaism, and Islam can be traced back into the most ancient world, into Hindu, and into the Indus River Valley. And the whole idea that all three religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all say that they come from Abraham. Abraham is the father of all three of the religions. Well, Abraham is nothing more than Brahman. The Brahman priest, you put an A in front of Brahman, it becomes Abraman or Abraham. And the Hebrews are nothing more than nothing more than a continuation of the old ancient Brahman religion, which that Brahmin religion also taught that the people, that the Brahmins were the holy ones of God, and that the rest of the people on the earth were the untouchables. We're not to have anything to do with the untouchables. They're dirty, they're less than we are. And so that's the whole idea of God's chosen people, the Brahmins, priests. And when you start breaking all of this stuff down in our modern-day religions, you'll see that Islam, and like I said, Islam also, and Christianity and Judaism can be traced back to far more ancient religious foundations and theologies that have long since been gone, and people have no idea in the world. And when I see the masses of people bowing down to Allah and to their ancient moon gods and their ancient sun gods. It's just amazing to me. how far the human race has gone from its intelligence and wisdom and knowledge.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
They've just lost.
It's like it's almost on rewind.
Yeah, it is. And so I'm just amazed how I don't know what to do about it, because one thing I would tell you is I'm getting a lot of emails from young people and their teens from the Middle East and from England who are Muslims, and they're telling me, I mean, I've gotten some today from a 14-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 16-year-old, Muslims, the kids, that are saying, what is going on with this crazy religion? What in the world is all this stuff about? It makes no sense, this Allah stuff. And they're asking me, Jordan, where does all of this Islamic stuff come from? And I'm 14 years old, or I'm 13 years old, and I want to know, where's all of this stuff come from? It makes no sense to me. And so I'm getting, and as I said, I've been getting a lot of emails from the Middle East, from Syria and from Israel. You'd be surprised how many young people in Israel are writing me and saying, where did all of this lunacy we call Judaism come from?
Yeah,
Where did this stuff start?
Yep, I mean, yep. There's some very sharp people there who get it.
And 16-year-old kids are saying, I'm walking around watching these people here in Israel, and nobody knows what's going on. Nobody understands. Everybody's just following the leader. Where in the world did this stuff come from? And what's really going on here? So I know that there's an awakening among young people beginning to suspect that there's something going on here, and the religions are nothing more than state-sponsored manipulation of the human mind. So I think that there is some hope. But the problem I see with it all is that these beautiful young people who are awakening now, where are they going to go? How are they going to live in a world that is massively crawling on their knees to their masters and crawling into oblivion? They even make movies called Oblivion. Where are these young people going to be? I mean, they can't associate with their other young people, so where are the people with brains, where are they going to be able to live? Because the whole world is caught up in all this nonsense.
Well, what they're doing, interestingly enough, and this is not a new story, but it's now popular to build little, teeny, tiny condos and apartments. I'm talking 300, 400 square feet tops in cities. It's like an enormous hamster cage of these little tiny boxes, and people call it at home.
That's
amazing. And they're buying right into it.
Yeah. And the Hong Kong, they've got thousands and thousands of them. And they're all little tiny little cubby holes, and millions of people are just crowded into them. They got 5 and 6 people living in those little cubby holes. And it's amazing what's going on the earth and where we're going. Wow. On the other hand, millions, like I said, are being led into religions and wars and violence and bloodshed.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. Science, of course, has run amok. Monsanto
is a
valiant fight being waged against GMO crops and other things. It's a lost cause. I don't mean to tell people not to fight it, but you can't fight City Hall, and in this case, City Hall is an overwhelmingly deadly, genocidal, if necessary, international moneyed elite. They don't care. I just got a story. I don't know if you saw it, but GMO wheat is not supposed to be in the United States. It's being tested in Australia, genetically modified wheat. Well, it was found in Oregon, of all places, and now it comes out that GMO wheat on the loose, rogue wheat, has been found in 127 different countries. That tells me that Monsanto has spread it around so it'll blow in the wind and take over normal, traditional Mother Nature wheat.
You're right. Mm-hmm. And what does that portend for the future of the world? Where are we going then as an experiment on the earth, the human race? Where is it going because the people who are in power couldn't care less. They're on the take, like George Carlin said. You know, they got they're all on the take. And so, I've thought about this. Where is there one institution, human institution, especially in this country, that is clean? I can't think of one institution anywhere, in religion, government, commerce, banking, nowhere. I mean, there's corruption everywhere. And the rule of law, that's a joke. And good people who are doing something to help their fellow man, coming out with inventions, are going to jail. You know, people who have cures going to jail. So it's an extraordinary story of the betrayal of the human family. So we do what we can, yeah. And I keep plugging along.
Yeah, so. Well, don't quit. We need you.
All right. Appreciate it.
Sure, Jordan. Always great. We'll talk soon.
Okay, no. Bye-bye.
All right, night. Jordan Maxwell. And again, please don't buy any Jordan Maxwell DVDs or anything online right now. It's an issue we don't want to get into, but wait till we clear that, and then you can support him. All right? Okay, that's it for tonight, and we'll be back with you tomorrow night. Have a good night's sleep, and have a really good day tomorrow. Take care.